Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
This is the Fakeologist speaking. It is Wednesday, June the 16th, 2021. I'm here in the live stream with Purple Play.
Hello,
and
hello.
Ben and Tom, I join. Hello, Purple.
How are you? How are things in Chinada?
Chinada and
Ontario.
Well, yeah, there are more people on the road than ever. I'm missing the lockdown. But,
everyone's coming out and non-complying. Is that?
No. Everyone's coming out and complying. The lockdown is. We're in the phase one of whatever that means. If you want to know what it means, you'll have to go look it up because I don't care about it.
I know what it means, but it never corresponds to what's actually happening out in the... I mean, our chart, we're supposedly done with our chart, California, as of yesterday, the 15th, but our wonderful little gruesome guy up in Governor Hood decided he was going to wait till July 1st when the entire country does away with everything. But in saying that, I've been out and about, and I went out for lunch yesterday to my favorite restaurant, and everybody's got a sign that says unvaccinated or vaccinated people can go without a mask, but nobody's checking. You just walk up without your mask and do your business. So I'm reporting here. I went to a restaurant. I went to a small family store. I went to the grocery store today. And but here's my observation, which is interesting to me, that a lot of people obviously are still wearing their fucking masks in the street, walking around like a-holes. But there is, you know, there's a lot of them that are not, and most of the people going to the grocery store, whatever, are still wearing their masks. So what I'm taking from that is that maybe we don't have as many vaccinated, quaxinated, as they're saying.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That, of course, is impossible to tell, and that's why there's going to be a astroturfed, which means an injected idea into the population, that because there's just no way of telling, we really need a digital proof.
Right. And I'm fully expecting, that to be temporary, but I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a transition period. It's shock therapy. We give a shock. We let it relax a bit. This is not going away. So you're just in between phases, for sure. But I've already listened to the Dumble and Dread show, and I only do that because I really want to get an idea how most people think. And these guys, one of them is rabidly pro-vax, and he really wants punishment and or some kind of removal of privileges for all those non-quaxinated that are benefiting from his sacrifice.
Well, sure.
By being quaxinated.
You got to remember, it's the lamestream. They're going to push that all day long. And I don't believe that people believe that way. I just think everybody's fucking tired of it. They just want it all to go away. And I'm sure there are those little militant control freaks out there who, want everybody to be smacked down into their hall monitor obsession, whatever. But I'm thinking that the tide is turning. I'm on a number of different Telegram. You know, people are out there you know, standing up and saying, no, we don't want this, and this has to stop. And they are just, like I said, overreaching so far that people are finally, like, getting a clue. And that's, you know, from my silly, that's my opinion, but, you know, this is Silicon Valley where this is where a lot of the shit's coming out of, because they stand to gain a lot with all that application nonsense, you know, the codes.
There's a lot of tech.
Yeah.
A lot of tech. A lot of tech that's required. The bioidentity ID 2020 is going to require a lot of technology, a lot of connectivity with 5G, and a lot of database management, centralized control in a decentralized country. It's going to work much more efficiently in Canada because we're more centralized. We have a stronger federal system. It's going to be a real hard sell. Yeah. Go ahead.
But you guys are pushing back too. I mean, it looks like there's some pushback. I mean, it's not everybody, but you don't need everybody to get the word out there and get people to notice what's happening. It's going to take a long time. If they're really going to get it, it's going to take them some, I think they're very, very optimistic in their, you said, all that computer stuff, that's not there yet. There's no freaking way they can track us all like next month or even next year, you know, it's still not there yet. So that's my only hope as a computer programmer. I'm pretty confident that they're just trying to nudge. They're just getting all the nudging going. It's just more of the same, you know. They just push it along and push it along for as long as they can.
That's a 10-year plan. It's 3 steps forward and maybe even 2 steps back, but they still got a little bit on this round. This last year and a half, they've made a lot of progress into hearts and minds changing attitudes. I really think they've cast a wide net, like dragnet fishing. So they've caught a lot of fish, and they've let a lot back, but I really think they're after the young fish, the young people.
Yep.
They're the ones that got to live here a lot longer than we do.
Exactly.
And
that's where they're heading, targeting at the moment. But again, I feel confident because I've spoken to a lot of young people that even though they are not standing up and protesting or whatever, you know, they think this is, you know, they're not having it, you know. So it's, you know, like you said, it's going to take some time and, you know, maybe, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Do our best to inform as many people as we can. And Marcus was saying, I almost have half a mind to send him some of my time.
Oh, good for you. He'll like to hear that. So did you think that Marcus was, what did you think of Marcus? I won't even bias you with my leading questions.
Well, I know everyone has different ideas about Marcus. One thing that I know about Marcus, he's an extremely talented marketer. And if anything that these people who are doing whatever it is they're doing to us have on their side is they are guerrilla marketing this shit down our throats, right? That's their handiest tool. So if we have any kind of a chance to beat this thing back, we need to match fire with fire. Now, in saying that, you know, like fighting is a warlike term, but if you're going to, you know, match their, whatever their reach, then we're going to have to get out there and market and repeat, just like they do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's worked for them, so it could work for us too.
They have an unlimited budget.
Obviously. But, you know, we got to hold on to the David and Goliath story. We have more people. We have more men out there. So boots on the ground, so to speak. So, and we also have a whole lot to lose if we don't get into that mindset. So,
how worried are you, as someone who I'm guessing will not get vaccinated, how worried are you that just the services that society, the government provides, if they withdraw these services from the unvaccinated, how worried are you that it's going to be really difficult to, quote-unquote, legally be in society? For instance, if I would be wiped out if I lost my driver's license because I don't conform to the experimental biological injection.
We should not be worried about it. We need to just start working toward, I mean, because right now just speaking it into, I don't know if you subscribe to the creating your own reality kind of thing, but I firmly believe if we're going to keep talking about it and keep spreading it out there, then yeah, you're creating form.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
I'm going to rename that bot the Spike Bot in his honor. What do you think?
No comment. But anyway, as I was saying, getting back to my point was,
yes,
every
please.
Time we speak, we create reality. We're putting it out there. So, that's my belief anyway. So we need to start talking in terms of that shit ain't going to happen. You don't worry about it. And we're going to continue. Maybe we're going to have a different sort of a life, but we're going to continue, and it's going to be okay.
That's fantastic. Yeah, my Telegram app is getting really full of different groups.
Yes.
How about
yes.
yours? Is yours getting overloaded as well?
I have. How can people just throw you in a group without you asking? Because, like, I've gotten a couple of times where I'll be getting a message, and then it'll say, well, you're now in this particular group. And it's like I have to...
Get into your privacy settings.
Jump out.
Yeah, you get in your privacy settings in Telegram, and there's some setting that will stop that from happening.
Okay.
I think if you haven't touched your privacy settings, then they're wide open, and then anybody can do just about anything. So, yeah, you have to go in there. No one's done that to me, but I know I've heard about that complaint before.
Right, and then, you know, I've gotten some creepy messages from someone saying they want to be my friend and la, 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 but, and, you know, just different things, like, from, even though they don't put you in the group, but I have gotten, you know, things like, are you safe? Would you like information about, you know, vaccinations?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of marketing. There are people that will comb Telegram for marketing. You know, one of the hardest things about having an open platform is keeping spam and porn out. Those are the two heaviest infiltrators of all forums, every forum. It's been like that since the beginning of time. Email was first.
Right.
So anytime there's a new platform, it's a new opportunity to get everyone in there.
See, marketing, that's what it is. It's just marketing. So, we can do the same thing.
Yeah.
We can learn from that.
So really, if you think about it, the platforms have to censor. Otherwise, you'd be reading Twitter and every other post would be a naked woman or it would be pills or anything you can think of. So they're actively cleaning up their platforms. Because it takes almost no time for these platforms to turn into a marketing mess. It's just spam. It's just complete unreadable spam.
At the end of the day, though, isn't that exactly what they are, though? Facebook and Instagram and all those, they have proven, it's been proven, Twitter, you know, that that's what they're there for, and it's not for us.
No, I realize that, but what I'm talking about is, when I started the Fakeopedia, which was open source media wiki software, I left something open registration, and within 12 hours, the whole site was destroyed by bots inserting ads into my Wikipedia, into my media wiki. It was, I couldn't believe it. I realized that that can happen, but I just didn't expect it because I didn't know that it was such a target.
Yeah.
It's literally like you leave your pool open, you don't put enough chlorine in, and then the next day it's a swamp. That's
right.
Exactly what happened. It was, and I had to drain the swamp. I couldn't treat all that water. I had to flush all that water out because there wasn't enough chemicals to bring it back to normal. So I had to drain my whole pool. It cost me probably $250 to put new water in, or some large number, because water is still pretty expensive, even though I live on a great lake. Same with media, same with my Fakeopedia. I had to delete it, start over. So my point is that Telegram, they may not be as filtered, because you need people to do that as well as bots.
Yeah, I guess I thought I was pretty good about, you know, privacy things. You know, I never click all the stuff when I load into a new app, especially. But maybe I missed something, so I'll have to go look.
Well, I think its default is no privacy. That's the default. That's what you ran up against. So now you have to go in there and just adjust your settings. For instance, if you post somewhere, someone can click on your name and then send you a message. But you can have it so that nobody can send you a message unless you approve, or unless you are part of a forum that they're in, or unless they're in your contact list, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, it says here, because I did not allow Telegram to access my private contacts. That's one thing I knew I didn't want, but
well, I did, because that way when one of your contacts joins Telegram, it'll let you know. I don't care about that, so I left that open, because I like to know who joins Telegram that I know, because then I can start bombing them with my garbage.
Right, well, most of my contacts are, you know, they think I'm crazy, and I'm just the crazy conspiracy lady, so they're not going to appreciate my...
well, you are crazy. Come on.
No, I have been tested.
I'm joking. Your fakeologist is crazy. We love you.
I've been tested. I've been tested here on Fakeology, because there's other people who are just as conscientious as I am.
Oh, you're good. You're good. You're one of my favorite fakeologists.
We are just so special that you know, we read, we're smart, we have strong minds, and it's very encouraging, and it's where I get a lot of strength from. I mean, you know, you're gonna walk into the store, and I when you're talking to people that are giving you guff, you know, all this stuff that we talk about all the time, it's easy. It comes to my mind so much easier now. Before, when it was just me, it's like you stutter and you're nervous and blah, blah, blah. But now it's just more like, hey, this is, you know, it's more.
Well, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. You know the big picture. Everything
you
see coming down the line, you get it. You know what? You don't have the schedule, but we understand what the schedule probably looks like. We know the 5-year plan, probably the 10-year plan. We see it all, so nothing is a shock. I actually like it. Are you following my thread with about communitarianism? Do you have an interest in that?
Just gonna say, I did listen to. I'm not a Rosa Quarry fan. I never really listened to her. I had hardly even heard about her except for recently. And so I finally listened to one of her, I think Vidir sent me one of her presentations from last November, October, whatever. And I got to say, I didn't think she looked sick. She seemed very energetic and, you know, alive, whatever, for someone to just, you know, bite it this, you know, a few months later. I don't know. That was just a kind of a red flag for me. I kind of get the feeling she was put there as a someone to just give us all the, you know, the predictive programming and let you know what's, you know, like they always say, they got to let us know what's going to happen. And
yes,
I know that's just my feeling though. My opinion.
Well, you don't have to say your opinion. I get it. You don't have to qualify what you're saying. I know it's your opinion because you're saying it. So it's a bit redundant, but no, I'm mixed on it. She has so much, I agree, she could be promoting it, and maybe when they kill off a personality, if that's what happened to her, it just elevates or makes her information that much more important, or now people finally pay attention to her, like Elvis's music.
Thing,
yeah.
You know, when they kill the, quote-unquote, kill them off, I mean, she could just dye her hair and walk away, you know? I mean, quite frankly, her hair dye job seemed very unnatural, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Definitely a disguise from the get-go. So, you know, she'd go back to her natural color and nobody would know the difference. Move to another city.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt it's very easy to just slip back into oblivion, especially someone like her who obviously is only familiar to a small, tiny fraction of the world. That's not an issue, but I'm just wondering why, if her role is over in promoting a 10 to 21 and they just want, because I don't know anyone else that talks about it, and they got rid of Alan Watt. He's gone. He's the only other guy I really heard talk about it. He's not as easy to listen to as Rosa was. I'm just wondering why they get rid of them. Is their job done? As is their promotional job done? That's
right.
What I'm curious about.
Retirement? I mean, it could just be retirement. It just could be to be fair, I mean, I was listening to Alan Watt, God, I don't even know how many years ago, and he more or less kind of saying the same thing. I mean, that's why I stopped listening to him. So,
every time it's repetitive.
He's just stale, you know, I mean, and of course, you know, you can't listen to that all the time. It's just too depressing. I'm like I said, I'm an optimist and I don't like to, you know, bog myself down with that because you just get, So,
I agree.
Totally.
Yeah, Rose, all her speeches are pretty much the same. Every now and then she says a few things differently and I note them, but, I was looking up her nemesis, Nikki.
Rapana. Yeah, I remember hearing about her too, but I don't remember what circles that I heard her name in. But her name has been there. But again, I never really followed her or not. Wasn't she more in like the Alex Jones arena? Or I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's.
Well, she does. I just started listening to some of her interviews, and the thing that I find interesting about her is she wrote a book called Anti-Communitarianism, Communitarianism League. That's a terrible word to have to say or spell. Communitarianism. It's crazy. I've heard of communitarianism, but I've never heard it as a philosophy. I've never heard that anyone is promoting it as a philosophy. I didn't understand. It's very interesting, but her main thing is she was talking about this around 2000 or maybe before. She had 2020 as the date, she says, 20 years ago. She was quite ready for 2020 to be the rollout of this new religion, communitarianism. Obviously, it's been around a long time, but the implementation was set for 2020, she says. So that's the most astounding thing I've heard her say. So I'm going to try and read her book.
She had foreknowledge.
Yes, And her angle is it's all Zionist, and because it's Zionist, that makes her Jew-wise. So she'll go on all the Jew-wise podcasts where they have to get... It's almost like a religion where if you're a Catholic, you have to give a bunch of Hail Marys all the time. If you're doing a podcast blaming the Jews, you have to say the word Jew at least once every 5 minutes to remind people who's doing all this.
So that means it's a misdirection because you're just, you protest too much, right? It's like, that would be a red flag for me. And then, you know, they have been used a lot in other ways. You know, there's always that.
The other thing she does say, which I haven't heard too many people say, or maybe I'm just looking for it now, is she does call them Frankists, the Sabbatean Frankists. So this is the second time I've heard. Well, yeah, the Sabbatean Frankist Jews. See, that's their full title. So I've heard that a few times now. And she's been calling them that for a while, and she is calling out the father of communitarianism, who has a funny, maybe it's a Yiddish name. I can't pronounce it. I watched one of his videos. I can't make my way through it. It's too boring. And he's a hard person to understand. So I can't remember the guy's name. But she references him many times in her presentations. And she's living off the land in Alaska, which is not interesting to me. So I'm going to try and get her on. I doubt she'll come on, but I want to hear what she has to say. I really know what her problem is with Rosa. Like, many people rip other people off and don't give attribution, but is that really the biggest problem you have now with Rosa, that she took your stuff without attribution? Because Rosa's done a dynamite job explaining it, and she doesn't really even say the word communitarianism more very often that I've heard.
I'm trying to, that name I think goes back way, the Nikki person. So, I think I will go back and just research a little bit more to see exactly where I heard about which network she actually came from. I mean, you know, they could be both working the same beat, you know, they always create those little,
rivalries.
Rivalries, right?
Yeah, it's really strange why people would be rivals in such a obscure area of the world.
Exactly.
I never get that. Why would you be battling someone that nobody cares about?
I know. You see, there was a, I don't know if I posted, let's see, where, there was a...
Yeah, you do a lot of posting on Telegram, I think.
Mostly comments, but there was something that, again, something Vidir sent me about, it was couched in the JFK, thing, but it went over a lot of different things and about how the CIA puts a lot of this stuff out there for us. And,
I believe that.
Did you see that? It was kind of a long one, and I didn't really want to watch it because I thought, oh God, I'm done with JFK, but it was really, it was very interesting, and I thought I posted it.
Send it off.
I'll go find it.
That goes for anyone. Anyone who finds something interesting that they think I might like, just tag me. Because I don't read every forum every day. I don't even go in the Discord often, which is... There's just too many things. So yeah, give me a tag or send it to me directly on Telegram or email. You can send it to me if you really think I should see it.
Well, yeah, to just put a shout out to everyone. I'll try to post it somewhere and conspicuous, because I'd like to discuss it, because there were many, many points that they came across in that particular presentation, which, you know, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't just JFK. There was like the mafia, it had the CIA, it had all of the presidents, the governments, all these things kind of smushed together in this whole, what we go through constantly. And it's majorly fakeologist topic. It's like a whole overarching of our everything.
Send it to me.
Yeah.
I'll try and watch it.
Okay.
I got a million things on my watch list, and
I know.
Then I lose my watch list. I don't even know where I put them.
Right.
It's really hard to keep up.
It is.
This
it
has
is.
Been actually a very interesting time.
Yeah.
This is Without a Trace.
Brucello.
Will Lose.
Henry.
Zulo.
Mribler.
SMJ.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah. I can't stop looking at all this stuff now. It's really getting interesting again.
It's
really
yeah,
fascinating, actually.
Very, very intense because there's just constantly new stuff being thrown at you, and you try to look at it all, but, you know, sometimes you kind of just have to let stuff go by.
Yeah.
But mostly I've been pretty, you know, keeping up on a lot of it, and it's been extremely interesting. Yeah, to say the least.
And the difference is between being an American and a Canadian, I have to keep up with two countries at once because, obviously, the U.S. is extremely important to Canada, and I'm interested in maybe bailing there. And, of course, in Canada, things are happening way faster. I think here,
yeah.
And our laws are changing so quickly because it's so easy for them to pass a law because it's more of a dictatorship than the U.S. can ever be. So I've got almost double duty every day to go through. It's and then I find someone who's been doing research like Canuck Law for 2 years. She's got so many good posts from a year ago, and she's really smart. She reposts them and retweets them. So then I got to go look at something from a half year ago where she finds a law that was passed and how we're just
law
one
stuff
step.
Is,
yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. I have a couple of law telegram groups, and it's like thousands of messages a day. And, you know, it's just sometimes you just got to let some of them go. But I do enjoy reading them because it's, you know, people are making progress, and there's a lot going on in that arena as well, which, you know, who knows if they decide to just, you know, chuck the whole system and, you know. But no, we're not going to put that out there. We're not going to put that out into the universe.
No. Well,
I mean, do you listen to Crow? He's very, very optimistic. And he says, you know, this is all this stuff that we're finding out. It's very good because if people are looking at all these things now, we can just decide to ignore what they're doing and look the other way and start our own new avenues. So, you know, there's that. There's always that
start our own exclave.
Yeah. Well, not just that. Well, in the medical system, there is just so many things coming out, you know, of you know, it just like we were going over that vaccination or the anaphylactic thing with what was Charles Richter thing. That just blew a big hole into a lot of things. I mean, for me anyway, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
my takeaway is that I think they're just using normal plant proteins.
Right.
They're just using that. They're not making anything. They're just grabbing plant proteins, sticking them in our blood, and causing a huge toxic reaction because obviously a peanut can't fall into my bloodstream unless it's injected.
Exactly.
It just doesn't happen by nature. And when it is there, it's definitely on the wrong side of the barrier between the gut and the bloodstream, and it can kill you.
Yeah.
I understand. I never understood the peanut allergy thing where we were told by the schools, don't even pack a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
Because it cannot even come into school. I thought, come on, you're being a little bit overreactive, aren't you? But apparently just this 100-year-old revelation with this Charles Lichet that discovered that when you inject proteins, it makes you anaphylactic in one or two shots.
Huge.
That blows my mind. But now I understand how that works, if that is a true story. And now maybe that's the story behind this shedding that they call it, where you have no defense once you're injected. And then when you and I don't know which way it works, but it may be a clue.
Well, it's extremely good to know. Like you said, it's telling, and it gives a lot of the alternative doctors who know more about this stuff. They have been saying, you know, there's ways to mitigate these things. So, you know, if not cure them, I mean, you know, just get it taken away. There's you know, they have lots of already answers to helping out some of these people that are having all these issues with. I mean, it's just like a snake bite, you know. Actually, Mr. Saltman
here.
Yes. We were just talking about snake bites earlier, and, you know, maybe he wants to jump in.
As SMJ said, you can drink snake venom. You can drink it.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't go in your blood, right?
Yeah, that's a great comparison. You can eat a peanut, you just can't inject it.
Right.
And same with eggs.
Especially if you have, you know, I keep banging on about salt all the time. If you have enough salt, the pH of your stomach is 1. You know, there's practically nothing that can get past a stomach that's got gastric fluid with a pH of 1.
That's the actual pH of your stomach, 1?
If you have enough salt, yeah. You need to have about 17 grams of salt a day to get that. Most people, the pH of their stomach would be 3 or 4, which is 1,000
times... alkaline.
More dilute.
Yeah, because isn't the pH scale logarithmic?
Yeah, so it's 7 is neutral.
Yeah.
And your stomach, you know, a 1945 textbook would say that the pH of your gastric fluid would be between 1 and 2. But now it's people are lucky to have 3 or 4 pH. So that's, and that's why they get sick.
Well, I was just listening to another Crow episode with Mandera Cromwell, who is a cymatics researcher, which cymatics is a...
frequency stuff?
Yes, the frequency, the vibration. And but she was mentioning about the cell salts and that they are, you know, really helpful to, you know, for a variety of things, but mostly just to... help you absorb, because your body only heals by getting good nutrients and things into your body, right? So, and these cell salts help you, you know, and I'm just learning about these things, and I've heard them called tissue salts as well, but I didn't know if they were the same or, you know, some people take baths in them.
Yeah, the tissue salts are, you know, often from animals and so on.
So do you eat them or you take a bath in them?
You eat them. They're quite expensive. I mean, like I said, I would just stick with salt. But, you know, the general point still remains.
Yeah.
You're not what you are. People say you are what you eat, but you're not what you eat. You're what you digest. You're what you take into your body. And if you're not digesting it, you're not getting it. It's just going to pass through or cause damage in your intestine.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, and that was one thing she did say. If you can't get the tissue salts, just a really good, you know, sea salt like yours, you know, is
do the trick.
Always helpful. Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, and she does do sound healing with vibration and all that. So there's also that end of her research, which I'm really fascinated with because, you know, that just opens up a whole new door of non-pharmaceutical healing that they're finding in this paradigm, whatever. And it goes along with pretty much everything, like even like color therapy, sound therapy, you know, plants, herbs, you know, all that.
I thought what Benoit said this morning was really probably the most important thing.
Yes, and that brings me...
If you want real frequency healing, then change the frequency of your thinking.
Right.
People are killing themselves. You know, people get told they have cancer by some guy in a white coat, like a witch doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, magic. That's magic.
Yeah, they just people are killed with their own thoughts.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Like what he was saying about, in, you know, if you're walking around, you know, like you were saying, you know, the drug addicts or the drug dealers never came near you. And like what he said, too, about, well, you're not, they can tell by your vibration that you're not somebody that's going to be easily taken down. It's just like the animals, they smell your fear, right? You know, the animals do it. They're looking for the easiest target. That's just like what all these, you know, people that are going to do you harm, they look for the weaker ones. They're not going to try to take down a strong person.
Yeah. So, and again, that's kind of where I come from with the prayer thing. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's either psychological or it's real. It doesn't, the demons do exist, or they're psychological demons. It's, the same as far as I can work out.
Exactly. So I was thinking the other day, because somebody said, oh, you got to raise your vibration. But, you know, I'm wondering, is it raising your vibration or lowering it? Because, you know, the speed, you know, if you're vibrating really hard, isn't that more of a, I don't know. I guess I need to research that. But
you've got to get in the right zone. Yeah.
What you're going to do.
Yeah, that's I think that's the summation of it. And for me personally, that's all been much easier for me from the time I started Luca Livening, as I call it.
Yeah. Well,
and also the legal system also operates basically on the biblical principles. So if you're familiar with them, you can work your way in through the law, the legal system more easily navigate through.
Well, yeah, I think that kind of works the same way as well in terms of the vibration, because if you're going to walk, you know, people say you don't go into the courtroom unless you know what you're doing, because if you don't know or don't feel like, because the whole thing pretty much is based on, hey, I'm a living man and you're trying to pull some BS over me that you have no right to do. So it's kind of like a pissing contest, more or less, you know, like what's, and the people, if they get it that you're not messing around and that you know who you are, basically, which again, you're not a weak person. And if you've got some tools in your, whatever that they tell you what to, tell you things that you can do that could possibly take them down, they're not going to want to mess with you. So it's kind of just like a stare down, more or less. So yeah, you gotta have that inner strength, though. You gotta walk your walk, so to speak.
Yeah, I also think it's a bit more than that. I think, from what I can work out, people in authority find it much easier to deal with people that think that way, don't they? Because they're not likely, we're not belligerent people, so we're not the problem in the first place.
Well, maybe, but maybe it's just that they know that it's all a big put up. So,
yeah.
Which, you know, that to me is very sad in and of itself. But I had another thought.
As I said, there's something very, the mission of education there is obviously a reason why they're going to such great efforts to deceive us.
Exactly. That's my biggest clue, is that if they're trying so hard to, you know, send us in a different direction, we must really have something in our makeup that is pretty powerful and can, take them down. So that's where I'm headed. I want to find out. I want to know what is that? And
you want to know what love is?
Okay. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, self-love. I think that's what it is, self-love. Because, from day one, they're trying to knock you off your your game there. You're a original sinner. You're you're not smart. You're whatever. You know, you're a country person out in the wilderness and unwashed, whatever.
The great unwashed.
Nonsense.
I'm unwashed.
Exactly. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of reason or a lot of ways that they push you in different directions. So much. So you just got to wonder what we would be like if we were just left alone.
In my case, I'd just end up watching more television, I think.
Oh, come on. Really?
I watch a lot of television. Yeah. Sorry, but I mean in Netflix and things.
You swim in the ocean.
I do that.
You're out there in the sunshine. You got beautiful rain out there in your
it is beautiful. Where I am at the moment, it's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. There's so much nature out there to take in.
Mm. I'm having a great time at the moment. Yeah. I managed to get to a reasonable age in excellent health. And still can ski, which is great.
Well, I applaud your, I'd like to think that it's all about your praying, and I'm sure it is, but that's for you. I'm not sure the jump, I'm sure you did some things in between that to get you there. Cause I, you know, most people,
I think I've told you, sorry, I mean, I've, to bore you, but this did start with me realizing that, that I was selling a lot of salt to animals for their good health, but I was being told by my doctor to cut down my salt. And that's really where it started. I just thought, this is a bit weird. And off I went.
Well,
into La La Land.
You realized something, a truth, that you, that is the foundation, I think, that when you stand in your truth. And some people are not there yet, and they don't realize that there is a journey there. It's not something you just jump right into. I mean, like, there is fake it till you make it, but, you know, at least that's the way I see it anyway. Because I know, you know, if I look back to when I started this whole thing at the very beginning, it was, long time ago, probably 20 plus years ago, you just kind of get a thought in your head about, wow, all the rules that I learned they're wrong. I got to start all over again. I got to go find the real rules.
Yep. So that was the other thing that became quite apparent. If I just started doing the opposite of what the public health message was, you know, coming from, you know, if you get the course outline, to study public health and do the opposite. I think you've got it nailed, really, for your personal health I'm talking about.
Definitely.
A fairly simple technique.
Well,
whatever they're telling you to do the opposite, and you'll be cruising.
Exactly. Well, I just made...
Which is why I've started smoking.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Well, and that's why I say that this time, I think the biggest silver lining on it, us going through all this, it's really shining a light on that, on how we need to go a different way. We need to change the rules, and hopefully we'll get more people to see that.
But it's still very powerful, the message, because, for example, my daughter, who works for this one of the state health departments as a psychologist, she thinks she's really worried about the fact that I have a lot of salt.
Oh, yeah, well.
This is despite the fact that her friends, you know, she's a very popular, you know, she has a lot of friends, and all of her friends' parents who are the same age as me all have had just horrific medical histories.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you know, they're going in for artificial knees and hips and...
Right.
So despite the fact that she is seeing that I am obviously nothing like anybody else she knows at my age, she says that I'm crazy.
Well, and that's like I was going to say, the only thing we can do really is just be good role models and,
I have to say that I still shake my head. I just say to her, yeah, okay, if you want me to behave like everyone else, I guess I'll end up like everyone else. Is that really what you want? I mean, maybe she wants to inherit the house earlier or something, I don't know.
Right. My sister thinks, you know, everything is going to get solved with one pill, right? You can't, you know, what if there's one pill out there that's just going to, like, do it for you, you know?
Yeah, and what would that one pill be, though?
Well, you have to go to the doctor to find out.
Is that really how she thinks?
Yeah.
even though that pill that she gets will have a label telling you it's poison on it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It just doesn't make any sense. And of course, if I say anything to the contrary, it's like, well, when you go and get your PhD and, you know, then you can talk to me. So
even then the PhD will just be, as they say, piled higher and deeper. It's not.
Exactly. Well, you and I can see that, but I'm at loss for the, you know, how it doesn't get through for some reason. I mean, like in the case of your daughter, I mean, what is she going to do? Is she going to say, you know, turn her back on all those years of schooling and maybe, you know, this is paying her bills and, you know, if that's just too much.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
It's a lot to ask. But
it still is a kind of very clear dissonance, isn't it? You know, when even though it's very obvious,
yeah,
my physical situation is way ahead of anyone else she knows my age, but she is concerned that I'm having too much salt. I just think it's really funny.
Well, but have you I'm sure you've showed her your research and all that. Or
I do all of those things. They just say it's all conspiracy stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I know there are people that say, don't look at the internet. You're just going to find, you know.
So I have to tell you that my children even say to me, well, what do you know about surveying, Dad? And that's bizarre, given that I was...
That's your profession.
I'm a mine planning engineer of like 40 years experience. You think that's really funny? Because...
why did they say that? Because you didn't go to college or what?
I don't know why. They say because you're not a surveyor.
Hmm.
I don't do surveying for a living. I'm only in charge of all the surveyors.
Well, but isn't that doing surveys?
Yeah, of course it is. I'm just saying, when you take that kind
of... That's not your job title? Is that, it's just not your job title?
It's just not my job title. I don't know what it is.
You see, titles are important. Words are important.
Well, I said, it's really just, how do you describe it? I mean, that's the kind of cognitive dissonance that's very difficult to battle, you know, if it's at that level. You know what I mean?
We're always sitting around here thinking what is different? What is different between us and the rest of them? I mean, why is it so crystal clear for us to see and yet others are still muddling around? I don't know. It's interesting.
The paper that you talked about before, the one that, you know, the woman that Ab found out who discussed the Charles Richer thing.
Oh, Richer, yeah, yeah.
I mean, wow. It's just got to be, we're now really saying that these people should be held up for poisoning us. They're killing us.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Well,
but no fact or law shall be tried in this court.
That's what I'm reading all this law stuff because I'm trying to figure out is there, you know, why we couldn't do something like that. Of course,
yeah,
you know,
because the system, the legal system, is designed to prevent that. That's what it's for. You can't change the law for everybody. You can only implement the law for yourself personally.
But didn't they just do that? Hello.
No, they can do what they like on a mass scale because they're the ones. It is their system. All we can do is avoid getting entangled in that system.
Right.
You know, the law is not here to protect us. It's to protect the people that created the legal system.
To protect the harmers, the farmers.
Yeah. Yes, they're looking for a license to do it. To do, you only need a license if you're doing something illegal.
That's right.
You're getting a license to commit a crime.
Exactly. Oh man, I never thought about that. I'm gonna have to go cogitate on that one.
You only need a license for things that are illegal. If there's no law against it, then you don't need a license to do it.
Right.
You know, you need a license to go fishing. They've made fishing illegal.
And driving and cutting people's hair.
Yep.
All kinds of things like that.
Yeah. And so it's only illegal because you're caught up in sin.
That's right. Yes. That is one of the things that I've heard about, you know, in the law thing. It's like all this stuff that we are doing, we're just going against our commands or whatever.
Ten Commandments. Yep. When you commit adultery by taking a job, a job is to be paid to do work for someone else.
Engaging in commerce.
You're in commerce. That's it.
You're in dishonor of the creator or whatever.
Of the Ten Commandments. Yep.
Yep.
And so that's why that's why all this stuff about Christianity is being so disparaged because, of course, the law is based on the Bible. In the Bible, you are forgiven your sins. Jesus has stood in for your sins, and you are already redeemed. You just need to know how to make that clear. And the way you do that is to remove your Christian names from your birth certificate.
So, have you done that? Are you?
No,
are you,
I'm working out how to do it.
Working on it. Yeah, there's a telegram that I'm on that the guy says that's not necessary as far as if you want to go after somebody in court, but as far as, you know, like establishing, like I think it's more of an establishment for yourself more than anything.
Yeah, well, I think we need to come out of the system, really.
Yeah, well, sure.
You were talking before, I think, about people, you know, doing alternative.
Right, creating our own.
Yeah, alternative
pull
system.
Up and stuff
yeah.
like that.
And
I mean,
just,
yeah, you're a pilot. You got to start us up a new airplane that we can go on without. Get all your aircraft buddies together and start an airline. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not keen to do anything other than make salt, I must admit.
Well, someone like you.
I found my passion.
We do have some pilots in our midst here, but
you should
I'm not
ask
sure they're them. Willing to do that either. But you know, musicians can do concerts and you know, that sort of thing. You know, all the stuff that we still want to enjoy without having somebody say you can't. I don't know about the I guess you don't really need to buy all that crap that they sell us anyway. You just need food, right? Food and shelter.
It's all freely given.
Right. It's all there.
Well, so my view is like I said, I think we do need protection from evil. We were up against a very
evil enemy,
in my opinion.
I think we do have protection. You know how you were saying, again, we were talking about how people don't bother you because they don't view you as weak and easily taken down. Well, even in those situations, if they do decide to take you on, that you do get protection from somewhere.
That's my view, yes.
Out of our view or whatever, which we can't perceive at this point, but yeah, I believe that as well.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So we're not that different, really, in our thoughts about the unseen, anyway.
Yeah, it's just not. We don't get to talk about that here because we're it gets a little what do people call it, woo woo.
You don't think I have to say that I haven't felt any pressure not to talk about those things here.
I've gotten a few comments about it, but we don't need to go into that.
Okay.
I'm not gonna name names.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway.
I'm going to go to the salt mines, I guess.
Yep. I was going to say I've got to get going too, but it was lovely talking to you again. We always have great conversations, and thanks to Ab for listening to me the first 40 minutes because I had lots to say. And
yeah.
Have a great one.
As I, Jen.
That's all, folks.